What's up, dude?
Dude, we were like on the same track there. That was pretty crazy.
We're waiting for the rapids to go away.
Yeah.
How's it going, man?
It's going good. We're only 8 minutes late. So
crap.
This is a good start. 8 minutes late. Love it.
Awesome. Very good. My mind just went blank.
I can tell you're just podcast. Sitting there, arms folded, just like
rambling. Like podcast,
looking,
yes.
Looking.
I'm thinking about all the changes that are coming. I thought having help producing this podcast would just give us freedom, but it's just constrained us to constrained four walls.
Dude,
I'm a bunking Bronco, and I can't even say it right. And I just want to jump out. I'm kidding. I'm joking. This is like a joke.
Oh.
Because he's sitting right here next to us.
I love it.
It's a good thing. So I'm just thinking about all the changes coming down the pack.
It's brought me a new life to our podcast. I feel like, you know.
It has. Direction, focus,
love. Especially the pre-stuff. He's like.
Let's go. It's like,
what does that even mean, dude?
Podcast is over.
Keep talking this way.
It's funny. One of the things we're going to try to do is have some more interaction. Spotify is a great tool. So if you listen to this on any other platform except Spotify, once you go to Spotify, and there's sometimes going to be questions, polls, things on the episode,
which I
and so
just
you can interact with that.
Discovered today.
Well, me too. Isn't that crazy?
I didn't even know that you could poll people or like
maybe
talk
if you subscribe to
like
our
that.
Podcast, Ruben, you'd get notified.
Okay, listen, I do get notified. I just didn't know that you could.
You get notified?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't.
When it drops? You're not subscribed to our podcast,
I'm actually
Ray?
Subscribed, yes. In multiple places. I'm bumping the million subscribers. It's all Ray.
Okay.
999,000 is Ray. No,
create different email accounts and log in and like
every
subscribe.
App available.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
That's good. So it's been a stretch again because we've had some pretty crazy things going on.
It's quick, dude.
I mean,
it's not long.
Not too long.
No, not long.
It has.
And actually, from now on, we're going to have weekly episodes on Fridays. So make sure you hit that bell. I don't think it's a bell, but hit that follow. So anyway, Fridays, we're going to try to have an episode a week, and they're going to be shorter. So that'll maybe help the process.
We're diving into new territory.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard for me. Really hard for me.
Think
I'm
going to
be halfway jumping into a rabbit hole, and it's going to be like, gone. That hole did not exist.
Oh, that's awesome. So what are we talking about today?
I don't know. I feel like today is more of a timely, like it just happened. So, and a part of me doesn't want to talk about it because I think it's semi-stupid, but part of me thinks we should talk about it, not about the thing, but about the response to the thing.
Yeah.
You know? So,
let's stay on that track.
So we'll stay on that track. On the what track? The response to the thing?
The response.
Well, we got to tell you the thing first.
Yeah, no, we got to. So, I think we have to describe what happened, but I think the response is more what we're interested in.
Yeah, the response of a follower of Jesus, I guess, is the response, is what I'm more interested in. So just if you've been around Christian circles or I don't know. I don't even know what percentage of the population even listens to this stuff. But on Monday, a lot of us woke up to this like report of a men's conference in Missouri that kind of went south. Yeah. And so Mark Driscoll, you know, we've mentioned him before on our podcast about the rise and fall of Mars Hill. But Mark Driscoll was at a conference in Missouri. It happens to be where I went to college. You and I went to college. So we know the church and the church is pretty influential there. Decent church that's massively influential in the area. And so on Monday morning, we woke up to the news that Mark was like taken off stage because of something he said. And so the more you dig into it, the weirder the whole thing gets. Strange.
It was strange.
So what's your understanding? Because there's layer after layer after layer. And I think my response to you was, I don't think we have enough information to even make a judgment call.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because as you kind of, like you said, dug into it, you found out different things and different perspectives. There were several videos out there, and depending on which video you watched from the crowd, you could hear like cheers or boos, you know,
who knows
or
if those were
frustration
layered in afterwards.
Or whatever. Yeah, exactly. And so
literally you had to be there because I don't know how you could really know unless you were there.
Well, it was a strange thing. I mean, it wasn't at James River to my knowledge.
It was
like
Springfield.
It was
at the arena.
An arena. Yeah. And so They had, you know, a acrobat artist, I guess, that came. He kind of swallowed a sword and climbed up this pole and came back down from
the shirt.
Yeah, it was a really, my first question was like, this is an interesting selection for entertainment at a men's conference.
You know what it made me think about was that men's conference that you were part of years ago. And I went and you guys did the same thing. Acrobatics, stripped off shirt. It was like, yeah, pretty uncomfortable.
We did.
I'm just kidding. You guys not do that.
I was like,
it was the Beast Feast, dude. And you guys had like this grinder out. It was like grinding.
Oh, dude, it was pretty
like,
sweet.
Like steel and sparks were going everywhere. It was like a, let's eat some meat and let's grind on some stuff, like, you know. So
that was much different. But I guess I was confused in why that was selected. Yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that.
So the guy did that, and then the next thing happened.
Mark Driscoll gets on stage.
Well, it wasn't even the next thing.
It was later in the conference after there had been conversation. And I think from the videos that I saw, there was previous interaction leading to Mark Driscoll speaking that day, and then when he started addressing the entertainment and comparing it to the spirit of Jezebel and things like that, and that he was something to be worshipped, climbing on a pole, there was all sorts of like
Asherah pole spirit
comparisons
of Jezebel,
that he was drawing based on the entertainment that was at the men's conference.
And then finding out a day later he was going to speak about Elijah, and I was already going to talk about the spirit of Jezebel, and it basically played right into his hand, you know, for him to share what he was going to. So
yeah,
you know, halfway through him kind of calling it out, and he even said himself, this is not a discipline. No, what did he say?
No, he said this isn't a criticism or a critique of anyone.
Yeah, it's just my observation. Yeah. Well, then halfway through his thing, you know, the pastor there, John Lindell, one of those.
I think it's Lindell.
Lindell. Yeah. He jumped up and said, "Mark, you're done." And almost immediately, kind of almost counter Mark's personality, he goes, "I'll receive that, Pastor John," and walked off the stage.
That was interesting to me, because normally he's like he's pretty.
Well, he even says himself, he's all gas, no brake, no reverse, bulldozer.
And if you listen to at all to Mars Hill and some of the descriptions from the people that experienced him, that's not.
Right.
And maybe that's a, you know, change that he's experienced or gone through, but it was very different than the, you know, typical
like experience
what
him.
You hear from him.
And I think, okay, so what we're trying to get to is just setting the stage and then get to the other side, which is, we're not here to decide what was right or wrong or what they should have done or shouldn't have done. We weren't there. This is like, I don't know. It's like backseat driving. I mean, we just weren't there. We were asleep in the back. We don't know what happened. We weren't present. And I think the frustration for me wasn't the event. It wasn't Mark. It wasn't John. It wasn't any of that stuff. The frustration was the response of the quote unquote Christian community. And I'm talking about local, around the country. Just the response was so wild.
And why, for me, why people felt the need to make it a topic of conversation
that mattered.
There were people, you know, that were posting it on like main organization pages and things like that. And like, and making definitive statements about it. It wasn't like let's think through this together. And I think that's what made me sad is that it was often the comments that I read and things like that were filled with condemnation rather than a desire to understand. And I think that's where a lot of times we get it wrong as followers of Jesus, is we're quick to, without knowing context, without knowing what led to the decisions that are being made and those kinds of things, we're quick to jump to a conclusion based on our experience or how it sits on us in any given moment.
Or how the video was edited.
Right, exactly. And so then we make these like comments. I say we because I claim to be a follower of Jesus, and it made me
kind
of sad.
I can take Sunday's message at our church and we can tweak it, edit it, copy paste it into a thing to say anything we want, and it would be lighting a fire. So when we look at social media and when we look at context of other places we weren't, never in a time in the world have we been in a context where we can make a decision without being present. And so there was quoting scripture, there was saying the Jezebel spirit, there was people in the stands booing or cheering, we don't know, there was the reconciliation that happened a little bit later, supposedly. And so it's like, I don't know. Like when you look at it as a Christian, quote unquote, and the reason I'm saying quote unquote or square quotes is because the word Christian has lost its power. Like the meaning of what it truly means to be a Christian has lost its significance. And I even told you before we started recording, maybe it's time for us not to be called Christians anymore, because you're lumped into this group of people that we saw in just a week period, in a sad way, make responses all around, and all it did was divide, and it did not unite, like, no, at all. And then the world's watching going, that's funny. You know, that's why Christians are jokes, you know? So funny, because I sent you a little meme yesterday, marked safe from commenting on the James River Men's Conference today. Yeah. I thought that was hilarious, because it was like someone over in California posted this on their social media, which I thought was hilarious.
It's like
a natural disaster, and I marked myself safe, you know, from this natural disaster. So
yeah. Well, and I wonder how many people. So we were talking about just the context in which we're living in and doing ministry in, and it becomes like, I don't know, something like that. Like, I wonder how many of the people who are going through broken marriages and are dealing with health issues and like trying to reconcile things that happen in their personal lives with a God that they can trust, and yep, trying to like actively seek the God of the Bible and who he says he is, and learn to trust that and learn to like operate in a way that,
well, to be a follower, says God
can be trusted, right, and Jesus is who he says he is. Like, in the grand scheme of all that, like, I don't even know how many people like in our church would have not only come across that, but certainly didn't, to my knowledge, and certainly didn't for me, even as a Christian. If anything, it turned me away from, like, I was like, really? That's like, that's what we're saying, and those are the things that we're throwing out there for all the whole world to read and see.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well, it was the responses and the comments, yeah, that was far worse than the actual clips that were edited in a way for you to get a response, right? Yeah. So they really cut it to say, like, the person that originally posted it did it in such a way to get the response they got, and then the responses and the shares and the people talking about it, and then the fighting in the comments back and forth was wild. And then to layer that on where people in organizations were, as an organization, posting things about it, really took us away from the unity of a Christ follower, you know. And then, you know, some people got on afterwards, and John Lindell quoted scripture, calling a brother out, and he should have done it in private, and he was mad that he didn't, kind of stretching scripture a little bit. And so it's like there's a context for scripture, and unfortunately, Christians, quote unquote, take scripture and apply it outside of the context that it's supposed to be applied, which is that Matthew 18 passage is in the context of a church, is in the context of brothers that walk together. It's like in the context of a smaller group, not in a vast group around the country. Now, the principle applies, and you could use it at work, and you could use it at school, and you could use it in your neighborhood, but truly it's a biblical principle for the church. And so once you layer in a men's conference, or you layer in a you know, an event that brings in thousands of men that are trying to be encouraged to take a step towards, you know, leading their families or being a good worker or whatever, and you take all these people from different organizations into a room, and then that's the spectacle, which I'm not sure if it was, and that's why I'm saying we weren't there, so we don't know. I mean, the rest of the conference could have been fine. It could have been just a blip, and maybe it wasn't as big a deal as people made it out to be. I have no clue.
Right.
But
I mean, we saw a 15-second clip of it.
Right.
It's like, I don't know how long this is.
And then there was like a 10-minute clip of reconciliation, and that's all I've seen from the conference. So yeah, you cannot make a decision. And I think my advice for a follower of Jesus is, don't be quick to judge. Like, scripture actually says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Mm. And then it says, be careful of the vows you make. And I think what happened in the comments was, we we, I mean, the community of faith community following Jesus actually made a quick split hair decision based on a clip they saw that wasn't totally accurate.
Right.
And so I told you from day one, I was like, this is weird, man. Like something more is going on here. There's like, there's something else here. Yeah. And I think curiosity is a great response instead of judgment.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. It's one thing to sit behind a keyboard and type out some words without being confronted with the actual humanity of another person.
Right.
And it's a totally different thing to actually have a conversation with somebody. Yeah. And so to
look, you won't act that way looking them in the eye.
Yeah. To look somebody in the eye and to say, man, help me understand. And that's where the curiosity comes in, to say, can you help me understand like what was going on here, or like what the thought process was behind it? And the reality is we'll never have that opportunity with John Lindell or Mark Driscoll. They don't run in our circles. We don't have access to them. We don't have their phone numbers.
It's not our responsibility to be judge, jury, and executioner. I mean, that's not our responsibility, nor should it be our natural response. And I think there's this weird culture within Christianity, within the Christian movement, that loves seeing other Christians fall. It's almost like we celebrate with laughter and desire, and almost like blood in the water. That's one of the terms I used this week, was like, it was almost like blood in the water that brought Christians to pounce on. See, I told you those guys were blah, blah, blah. And why in the world does it seem like Christians love to kick their own? And why does it seem like it's friendly fire all the time? Like when you go to war and there's friendly fire, that's a terrible thing. It's something to cry over. But in Christianity, why? Like, why in the heck is it delight to see someone fall?
Well, one of the observations that I made, and this is an interesting thing that I just thought of. Well, it's interesting to me. Anyhow, the very same crowd. I mean, because you can see in the video when that guy climbed up the pole. I mean, dude, he's got a sword down his throat,
and he's climbing down up a pole
and down a pole. It's like
upside down in the crucifix position.
This dude's nuts.
Someone's like, is that Peter?
And they're seriously. Well, the reality is that the crowd, I mean, they were all about it. They were cheering, clapping, pictures, standing, all that kind of stuff. But then when it comes to time to criticize that guy, there was also the very same crowd that was like, they're agreeing with Mark, and they're ticked off that Mark is getting pushed off the stage.
But then they turn and agree with Lindell.
Exactly.
So it's like,
this whole thing. Well, and you see this played out even among, you know, the Jews that were the people who wanted a king, and when he wasn't what they expected him to be, it was like, crucify him. Yeah. And it's like, we're so quick to be like, to jump on board with a crowd of people, and we're so easily influenced. And sometimes we don't just take a second to slow down and think for ourselves. And I think we want to be quick to jump. We want to be the first one to say something. And it's like, dude, slow down for a second. Pause and actually process through it.
And knowing that about Christianity, I think the response that's knee-jerk, because here's my opinion, and this is kind of what I think is like underneath the thing, is all of us are on a faith journey, and we're afraid that our path is wrong and someone else might be right, and we haven't discovered that thing yet. And Jesus himself said, the path is narrow and very few find it. And we're talking about Jesus. It's simple. It's Jesus. And so if you jump onto this bandwagon of other preferences, theologies, points of view, and stuff like that, you end up fighting to protect that thing that you have put your faith in. And so if you protect that thing you put your faith in, you're worried that you chose poorly. It's kind of like the end of the Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, which I'm dating myself here, but they go and they pick the chalice that's right, and one dude picked a gold one, the other one picked the whatever one, and the right one was the carpenter's mug, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, you chose poorly, let's rip up and die. And I think people think that in Christianity, if I don't fight for my right and get people on my side, I chose poorly. And maybe I did choose poorly. And then that burden of proof's on God. And God's like, I sent my son. Yeah. It's Jesus. You know, so I don't know, like for us, it's really easy to think about, but if we were Mark or John, you be Mark, I'll be John, or I'll be John, you be Mark. I just said the same thing. I'll be Mark, you be John, whatever. What's the right response? And this is us backseat driving.
I just wish that the response was compassionate understanding and curiosity rather than condemnation.
From Christians or from those guys?
I think from Christians.
Okay.
Since that's kind of the track that we were on. Yeah. I think the response from us, from people who are, like you said, backseat driving and outside of the picture, we don't know context. We don't know all the details of everything. And so it's like, I can't assume anything because I don't know. Like, I wasn't there.
Right.
And is it my job to put somebody on blast in a public way when I've not even had a conversation with them?
Yeah. And this translates into my kids at school. I wasn't there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It translates into work that someone said something. I don't know. I wasn't there. And so I think you're right. The natural Christian response is submitting to the kingdom of God is to say curiously, there must be more to this, and not assume that, those guys were both.
Or in giving people, giving people the benefit of the doubt, and sometimes that's hard to do.
Ooh, that's a topic for another conversation.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one. All right. Hey, rabbit hole ramble.
We did it, dude.
Rapid rabbit hole ramble.
Do we need to add another R to our thing? Oh, we're gonna go past time because we're talking.
So no, but it's gonna be over quick. So my name's Ray.
And I'm Ruben.
And this is the Rabbit Hole Ramble. It's a podcast where we say
the quiet part out loud.
Yeet! Peace! If you would have said peace, dude, I would have punched you.
I should have, because you sent me a receipt last night.
I would have punched you.
Well, I would have
send you another receipt tonight.